Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And you and I agreed earlier, this isn't about J.B. Bickerstaff. This is more about, you know, the Cavs' growth under Kenny Atkinson. And honestly, like, just through 36 games, let's just be honest with ourselves, Kenny Atkinson has been every single thing that I hoped he could be. Mm-hmm. And that really, I'm not ready to change postseason expectations, but that really gives me a lot of hope in what you can do in the postseason, because all the stuff we saw in that OKC win, the creativity, the inbounds play, some of the substitutions, some of the, just the lineup ideas, switching to zone defense, that nimbleness in game, on his feet, that's the kind of thing where a coach can make a big difference in a seven-game series and just make it more competitive.
Yeah, I mean, again, switching to zone in the fourth was huge. But there was so many times in the past, and this is not going to just rip on JB. That's not what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
There's so many times in the past where you're like, JB, this isn't hard. It's a big, important spot in the game. Get the ball to Donovan. You know what I mean? It's not hard. Just do that. And it feels like I don't say those things with Atkinson anymore.
Well, and can I just...
Or ever, really, with Atkinson.
So it's not just get the ball...
He makes the obvious play, and he makes it happen.
It's not just... Because I think that's a great point. They do such a good job. I don't want to say your turn, my turn, because that's not what this is. But all right, the game's in the balance. Donovan's going to take this one over. But so much of Donovan being able to do that in the playoffs is going to be him not having to do it for four quarters.
Right.
I mean, we saw it with LeBron. Like, LeBron is 6'8", 270 pounds, and probably not anymore, but 250 pounds. He's an Adonis. He's everything you need to dominate a game in the NBA. And he would wear down after 48 minutes of controlling a game. If he can't do that, if that has held him back in the postseason at points, it's going to hurt Donovan Mitchell. And so what he's done that is so well is he is, in those moments, he's doing the obvious. Find a way to get the ball to your best players. He's also finding a way to kind of take some of the time off their playing early in the season while developing a bench, while getting a look at a lot of the rotations that you need to see and remember for the postseason, while keeping Donovan and Darius healthy.
Yeah, I also think he understands the flow of a basketball game really well, Nick. Yeah. And what I mean by that is the idea that, he doesn't let what he thinks he wants to do in a game disrupt the idea that all of a sudden, like yesterday in the fourth quarter, Ty Jerome had 8 fourth quarter points. Yeah. He's like, all right, Ty Jerome's cooking. Let's let him cook a little bit. And like, he doesn't disrupt the flow of a basketball game in that regard. I think that's really valuable. That's why at the end of the game, you ended up with the top rotation of the night was that Mitchell Mobley one that didn't have any of the other core fours involved with it. It was the Mobley, Niang, Strus, Okoro, Mitchell lineup was your best lineup of the night. And that's because he was like, oh, this one's working. Okay, great. Let's keep that one out there. Not what I expected going into the evening, but it's working, so we're going to continue to ride that.
And as a quick aside on that, Ty made a really dumb play early in the fourth quarter where he had made a little floater, he had made a nice defensive play, and they came back down the court, and he forced it, and it led to a turnover. And he didn't come out of the game. That's a moment where, like, I think, and again, this is just a management style. JB coached so tightly that I think guys knew if you're a role player. Now, this is not the way it works with your stars, but if you're a role player and you make a mistake, your ass is coming out of that game sooner or later, and it's probably going to be sooner. I think Kenny gives him a little bit more bandwidth to make mistakes, and I think that's how you build confidence in players, even if they're not playing 30 minutes a night once you get into the postseason. It is, okay, you made a mistake. We'll get you the next time. We got you.
That's clearly what happened with Ty Jerome. I mean, think about that. I mean, the fourth quarter in and of itself, and I always focus on the fourth quarter. It just matters more. But Ty Jerome was awesome in that
fourth
quarter.
SEC football?
What's that?
You said it just matters more. It's SEC football.
It just matters more. Yeah. Do whatever slogan you want with it. Well, I do this with quarterbacks, too. I'm like, what were you in the first quarter compared to the fourth? It's different. And in that game in particular, too, you know, there was a lot there. Even yesterday's game to me, beyond Atkinson, it was more about the idea that Mobley and Allen could just take over the game the way that they did. The two of them were so incredible. That's got to be the leaving imprint of that one.
It's interesting. We had Bill Ryder on the Infinity Sports Network show, Ryder Than You, Beyond the Arc Daily Podcast, YouTube, 12 p.m. Eastern every day. Mm-hmm. And we asked him, and this was not a leading question, but we said, all right, put Kobe in the hopper, put Kenny Atkinson in the hopper.
Which I like that he was willing to give Kobe a lot of respect. Now, maybe it's because he wanted to text Kobe. It seemed like he'd kind of shoehorn that one in there a couple times. It is. I think we did this like a month and a half ago, the reminder that Kobe was the only one that wanted to continue with the core four and rolling the dice that way. And like the inaction was action and how important that was. Like, I like that people are bringing Kobe into the equation.
So we threw Kobe in the hopper. We threw Kenny Atkinson and the 15 Cavaliers on the roster and said, all right, through 36 games, 32-4, who is the Cavs MVP? I was surprised at how quickly he got to what you and I think, agree on.
It's Kenny Atkinson for me. You found a way to make the backcourt be a strength. And I think, for me, more importantly, you found a way to make the frontcourt and make Allen and Mobley in particular as a tandem players that can play together and play on the same roster. And you can have the best offense in the NBA with those two guys. And obviously, defensively, you have so much rim protection and so much help there, too. I think it's Atkinson. And I think there's a lot of guys we can praise. Kenny Atkinson is one of the, if you were to extend that question to the whole NBA, right, just MVPs of the NBA beyond just players, Kenny Atkinson is pretty high for me on that list.
I got to say, Donovan has been great this year. Darius, return to form. Evan Mobley's taken a step forward. And knuckleheads who say, who just put it on, well, it's only 18 points a game, clearly don't watch these games. Jared has been every bit the damn player he's been since he got here. There are so many guys you can look at and talk about the value of this team. And by the way, they play 1 through 12. That helps. It's Kenny Atkinson. It's night and day. Like, watching these games, like, guys, they wouldn't be 32-4 with J.B. Bickerstaff. And in fairness, they wouldn't be 32-4 with Terry Stotts, who I'd liked hypothetically as a head coach. Like, this is, like, the Kenny Atkinson bump.
And it is interesting, though. I do wonder, like, if it's, and I think Atkinson is above, obviously, middle of the road. He's done a lot. He's going to win. Oh, we're going to have all sorts of coach of the year conversations, Nick. How about that? Another coach of the year.
Can we get him two? Because I heard that's the number. If you get two coach of the years in this town, you were Teflon. You never make mistakes.
That is kind of wild, though, in a two-year stretch to have every one of your professional sports teams win coach of the year.
Yeah. I'm ready for it. My body is ready.
Has that ever happened before? We'll have somebody look that up. Anyway.
They got ChatGPT. We found that out.
Yeah, they'll just say, they'll say really nice things. They'll say really mean things. And it is what it is.
It's all in the question.
But I do wonder, like, what would they be with an average head coach? Because they did have some things go right from last year to this year, right? You have Garland's 100% health and the bounce back. They've been the healthiest team in the NBA, have they not? Legitimately yesterday, there was no scratches. There was no, like, we talked about Okoro going into the game. He ended up playing. Like, that's about as healthy as you can be 36 games into the season.
Can I sell the health on the coach? Is that a bridge too far?
Like, I don't know.
I think because guys aren't playing 36 minutes a night, your best players at least.
I knew where you're going to go with that one, but I do think there's just so much in just being a pro athlete that them being 100% healthy is a little fluky at this point of the season.
I don't, not when the two previous years, not really any of the JB years, how healthy were you on any given year? Like, it seemed like guys wore down as the season went on, and that's where your injury.
It's pro athlete. It's pro sports. Like, you're going to have, when you deal with your body the way that they do, you're going to have something, some freak accident, something pop up.
Listen, I'm not telling you that this isn't what awaits us in the second half of the season, but I think that's something to look for. And again, I'm not saying it's not about J.B. Bickerstaff's health plan or the. It's about taking care of your guys and not riding them too hard early in the season so that there's something left in the tank.
Okay, but
I think that, I'll be honest with you, I think that's almost, that is exactly why J.B. Bickerstaff almost got fired last December.
I mean, one of the biggest things I railed on was the idea that Donovan has to play 40 minutes a night for the final four games leading into the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bonkers plan. It's like, well, Donovan likes it that way. He likes to really ramp it up. Oh, really? Because he's just going to kill himself, as always doing. I get that side of it 100%. But let's play with this for a second. How much is this Atkinson versus how much is this the growth of the Cavs and this year two to now year three with Donovan in a Cavs uniform and the expected growth that you would have with Evan Mobley entering deeper parts of his career, and then Garland being 100% healthy, and then Jared Allen, by the way, being able to copy and paste what he did last season, which has just been incredible.
Are the Cavs a top five, top 10 offense without this system?
I think so.
I mean, they haven't been.
I mean, I don't know that answer. This is the questions we have to ask, right? But it's not just any system. It's like, we're taking this comparatively to JB, and we're giving you an actual average head coach in the NBA,
Who's like an average head coach? That's a good point. Like, we probably, I'm trying to, I only can think of good.
You were going to say Nick Nurse, weren't you?
Oh, no, I was going to say Doc Rivers, but that might be mean.
Yeah, Doc's not going to come up with a good plan that way, is he? The idea is that Atkinson obviously got this team to places that we didn't know they could get to, especially when we spent the entire summer debating, do you break up the front court or the back court, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll acknowledge a lot about Atkinson that I like, but I do wonder how much of this would have come naturally if you just let these players develop the way that they have.
I mean, it hadn't come previously.
No,
I think the development has been facilitated.
I'm playing devil's advocate here. No, that's all I know.
But I think that we talk about the growth. It's one and one. Like you, the things that facilitate growth are things like confidence. Well, you're super confident when you're 32-4. Trust. Well, you build trust when you lengthen out your bench and we give a lot of guys opportunity and you give them leeway to make mistakes and learn on the job. Confidence, again, is built if you're confident in what you're asked to do. You said it earlier. Everything they did last night in that game made sense, whether it was inbounds, whether it was lineups, whether it was just trying something, right? Like, those kind of things, that's the best culture, or that's the best environment for you to foster growth, and that's why it is. I don't even think it's about 32-4, but I'll be honest with you. I think with the average coach, I definitely still think you're a top four team in the NBA. I mean, you are just that much more talented and healthier than most of the teams in the Eastern Conference. But to play almost 900 basketball, I got to say, like, I don't unless it's a NBA championship winning head coach, I don't think they're playing 890 basketball through 36 games, half a season. That's why Kenny is the MVP.
I agree with it. I'm trying to figure out how far an NBA head coach alone can stretch out how much he maximizes an actual team, right? Like in the NFL, we put it at limitless. The difference between Andy Reid and anybody else is we can't even quantify it. It's so large, you know? Like whatever you can dream.
It wasn't always that way, because it was Belichick before that. Ah, Belichick's on a mountain and nobody else.
No, I'm saying, like, you can do that in the NFL. You can put somebody and say, if you have a great head coach, you can do just about anything, and we can put that at the feet of the coach. Baseball is the other direction. Baseball, you have a great head coach, and sometimes it doesn't matter. You got a 70-win team. You could have the greatest manager to ever live. It's just not going to make a difference, right? What is that in the NBA? What is that difference there between having what is perceived to be a really good head coach? How much is that worth, and how much is it worth to this Cavs team?
So I think it's just not in a vacuum. Because, like, I'll be honest with you, if Kenny Atkinson had been the head coach since 2018, 2019, you probably would have hit a skid with him, right? As good as he was, like, maybe Kenny Atkinson just would have been a different version of J.B. Bickerstaff. I think the timing of this is what makes sense. You had 2 years with Donovan. I think the frustration had built, right? And when you fired J.B., I think it allowed players to release that frustration And then you hired the right guy who walked in. The right guy at the right moment is the most dangerous thing you can do in sports, in life, really. Like the right person entering the right situation at the right time. That's box office. And I think that's what it is. So I understand your point, which is, well, how valuable is it in an average head coach? How valuable is a great head coach? The most dangerous thing you can have is a really strong roster and a really strong head coach.
Yeah, I mean, we know it matters. I mean, again, that's why we bring up Steve Kerr and Mark Jackson until we're blue in the face, because we can see what that difference is. We know there is something there. It's just how much this is Atkinson versus how much is this at the time, the Warriors, for instance, even Mark Jackson to Steve Kerr. There are things Steve Kerr fundamentally did and did much differently than Mark Jackson did. How much of that is, though, Steph Curry evolved into the greatest three-point shooter of all time as well?
But I'm not going to put names on it, because I'm not trying to start a war over this. But the reason why this matters, to continue to say again and again and again, is that there were people on this station, in this town, saying, it doesn't matter. JB's a good head coach. They did him dirty. And the head coach doesn't matter that much. Tell me that today.
Right.
Where's that today?
Right.
Because if this doesn't all automatically prove that the narrative that, well, it's a player-controlled league and that's all that matters is talent, well, let's look at Milwaukee.
I remember prominent people telling me in the playoff game against the Knicks, it was like, well, it's execution.
Yep.
You can't put that on the coach. It's execution. Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So
then,
listen, I'm not telling you that great coaching trumps talent. Talent matters a great deal in the NBA. But this idea, this narrative that coaches it's a dead business in the NBA, and you're just there to serve the players coffee and paddle their fannies, to fan their faces and tell them how great they
and
are.
And manage egos.
It's more than that. It's not. It really isn't. And you're seeing the power of that. And by the way, buckle up, Buckaroo, because if you think this is great, wait till you get that dude who can coach an NBA game with nuance, in the moment, on the fly, having done it for 82 games. If they're healthy with that guy, you're going to come out of that series saying, why didn't we have Kenny Atkinson 2 years ago? No offense to JB. They're just different coaches. But this is the kind of coach that is a difference maker, not just in the regular season, but in the postseason as well. 216-474-0092. I'm all on board. Is Kenny Atkinson the Cavs MVP so far and the Cavs' secret weapon and maybe biggest distraction next on 92.3 The Fan? But I'll be honest with you. You have something?
I want to tell you. I've made a change on the Darius campaigning for himself crowd.
Yeah?
Yeah. I made a change only because he went so hard in the paint and he did it all day long. He did it before the game got underway. Uh-oh. And then he did it after the game on ESPN.
You'll turn on Darius?
No, in a good way. I'm now endorsing Darius doing the campaign, and I think I understand why.
Okay.
Darius is doing this because he's looking around and seeing all his friends have a lot of success, and I think he might feel like the odd man out.
Okay.
And I think so he's going to try to group this together as it's a core four, the way that we've all kind of done it, right? Mm-hmm. Although I think you...
Whether you want to...
Buy, buy, buy!
In a bear market... Or...
Sell, sell, sell!
In a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You take credit for trying to do that first.
I try. I successfully take credit.
You take as much credit as you want. I don't know that anyone has given you the credit, but you take as much as you want. But I think he's looking around, and I think he's realizing the bus is coming through and the stop, it's going right by his stop. And so he's got to campaign as much as he possibly can in order to get on that ride. He's got to campaign in order to be grouped in with everyone else in order to try to make this all-star team. And if he doesn't speak on it, nobody else is going to speak on it. Maybe Tristan will help, but nobody else is going to speak on it. And I'm here to respect the move.
So so this kind of flies in line with what Fedor said 2 Fridays ago. And when he joined us, he said there's concern in Darius's camp that Darius isn't getting the credit or enough credit.
Yeah, and it does. It,
for 32
it
and 4.
Feels a little too, yeah. Look at me, Louie. It feels a little too about me. But I think the turn I'm making here is that Darius is right. Who's speaking up for Darius in these moments?
So, okay. This also flies in with the narrative that when you and I talked about why the team continuously talks about, we need more national exposure, we're being ignored, whether that's real or not, it all kind of flies into the idea of, hey, we got a great team and everybody deserves credit. So when Darius has said that, it's felt like, yeah, and I want my damn credit too. But yeah. you're saying something that I agree that people do a lot. I don't know Darius is doing it, but I like the thought here that Darius is saying we've got four all-stars, when in reality what Darius means is I'm an all-star and I would like my credit now.
I just want to be included is the idea there. And from that perspective, and the idea that, listen, how long? We've been talking about this game now a good part of today. Now, we did a lot of football mixed in there as well, but we talked about this game a good amount. We haven't brought up Darius once.
I feel like we've brought him up twice, but he's just not been a main focal point. I mean, yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Thinking about it now.
And so, and like, it's not like, and Darius had a good game.
Yeah.
That was a good Darius game.
Did he do what you wanted him to do last night?
Yeah. Especially, okay. You know what? You know where he had me smitten was that corner three early on in the game. Just, from that point forward. And listen, did he disappear a little bit in the second half? In particular in the fourth quarter? Two fourth quarter points and the basket he had going to the basket weight was more garbage time than it was anything that was impressive. Yeah, not thrilled with that development, but yeah, Darius did everything you could ask and then some outside of that. And so, I think this is Darius. I don't hate this move by Darius to try to group himself in, because it really does feel like if Darius doesn't speak on it, nobody's going to speak on it for him.
It makes sense that Darius, who I think is a legitimately, like, I don't think the they love each other thing is a made up thing or embellished in any way. They have a natural enthusiasm with and for each other. Mm-hmm. And so it makes sense that this is a way to get your message out there without trampling on your teammates and trying to put yourself above them. What I will say is it's really something that you can only do when you're 32-4 and the number one seed in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. No, it rings hollow if you're 18-16. Yeah.
I mean,
it just doesn't hit the same way.
If you're 26 and math is real damn hard, then it's 26-10. All right. If you're 24-12, it rings more hollow. I will say, let's continue to watch this. Like, this is the undercurrent. The main current, the main wave that's hitting us right now and that we're loving so much is 32-4. But that undercurrent of Darius, if this is all real, if what Fedor said, and again, Fedor's the guy that asked him a question, by the way.
Yeah.
Fedor's plugged in with the Cavs as much as you can be for any NBA team, let alone for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Number one person plugged in my opinion.
So, like, he's espoused the theory. And multiple times, we've seen things that you can go, if you look a little bit closer there, That could be something other than what it is. And the underlying thing here is Darius needing more credit. And what's wild about that is, again, you can only do it when you're 32-4. But here's the thing. It becomes a real problem if at any point pressure comes back again.
I think it becomes a real problem if three people make the All-Star team and Darius is the one left off.
Yo, you think Darius should be the one left? I think it's Jared. I know Jared has been an All-Star.
It's really hard. He's not getting the fan vote early on, but I don't expect him to get the fan vote early on.
Yeah.
It's just, he's just not a household name that way. He isn't. But the NBA recognizes what he does.
Yeah.
And so I do think there was, I think there's a possibility that's how it shakes out. Yeah.
So is this something, like, can we get in on this? Like, can we help Darius? Like, is there a way that
how do we campaign for the forgotten Cavs?
Yeah.
The forgotten core four?
And here's the idea. Under the auspices of, we want to make Darius happy.
This is about team chemistry.
This is about team chemistry.
One goes, all goes.
This is about all for one for all. That's the Three Musketeers, not the core four. But
might as
you
well be us, though.
I mean, it just means more for the Cavs.
We're going back to the SEC campaign?
I'm just starting to throw out different monikers there. Core four. We are all Kipnesses. I'm just doing things.
Your things.
But no, I mean, what can we do justifiably? What can we do? This is not just Nick and JP.
We are garlands.
What? Wrap yourself in garland. No.
Oh,
no.
There we go.
Although,
I knew
what?
It wasn't it, but I like,
you know,
I like the creativity.
Thoughties out there, do us a favor. When you see Darius at the club, when you see Darius, if you're in the rotation, right? Get a little extra love from your boys, Nick and JP. All right? Put a little English on it.
The land for Garland. It was cheesy enough. You almost bit.
No.
It was cheesy enough. Almost bit.
No,
I respect nothing.
All right, so 216-474.
I stand for Garland. Cheesy enough. You almost bit.
216.
Oh no! But we are Kipnesses is the slogan of
you
our times.
You had to be there.
It's the
you
slogan
had to
of
be
our times.
216-474-0092. Well, this is a campaign now, and it's a campaign if you guys embrace it. If I'm just talking about it on air, it's really going nowhere. We are on a mission to get Darius to the All-Star game. Give us some ideas. Like, what are ways? And I feel like we're doing like a GoFundMe, but for Darius Garland when it comes to votes. Like, how can we get Darius to the All-Star game so he feels like he's getting enough pressure? Because, again, that undercurrent, if you have a bad losing streak, or if, let's say, you have a difficult series at the end of the year, that undercurrent is not that far from bubbling up. If we're talking about this, about the All-Star game, when you're 32-4, when credit is that important to you, when you start like this, it's not going away.
I mean, listen, he's not campaigning for Mobley and Donovan Mitchell. Those two are going to make it. We know that, right? I mean, those two are going to make it. So it's the campaign was that was for himself, not to be left off.
And also you, Jarrett.
Yeah.
And also you. Me, but more importantly, you. This is like when I go get like coffee for my wife in the morning, and then I was there, so I got one for myself. It was because of me. I got the coffee for me, and I just branded it in a really intelligent way.
Yeah, no, my wife does the same thing that you did right there, where she'd be like, "Oh yeah, no, I got this for both of us," and I'm like, "Just tell me you got it for yourself. Yeah. It's okay."
I'm
not going to think any less of it. Just say you were on a trip for yourself.
All right. Well, we were going to go to David, and then it said Garland All-Star, not yet. No. Nope,
that's not what the campaign
David,
is about.
You're not helping us get Darius to the All-Star game, and you're not helping us maintain peace and prosperity in the Cavs locker room. That's what this is about. And Darius getting his damn flowers. We want your ideas, 216-474-0092. How can we, the people, win a little constitutional there? How can we Clevelanders help Darius to the All-Star game? Let's put the wheels in motion. And as we continue on the conversation, one NFL analyst breaks down a big decision for a potential pick at 2 for the Browns, and one I think you'd like, 92.3 The Fan.